This is November 3rd, and this is Law of Mind.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, we're going to talk about the Law of Mind tonight. But before we do that, we're going to start with you, and you're going to tell Rhoda, I am the cause unto my own experience.
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 And I am the cause unto my own experience. Why do we do that? Why do we think that that's so important? We're talking about the law of mind. Before, I've told you that this is a metaphysical teaching. Many people have been in this teaching for years. Many people go to metaphysical churches. The main thing about metaphysics is you have to learn how to use the law of mind. We consider the law of mind an immutable law that runs throughout the entire universe. And it's a mathematical law. It always works exactly the same for everyone if you know how to use it. Now, the problem is that most people do not know how to use the law of mind, and most people use it incorrectly. So it's just like electricity. If you don't use it correctly, it will shock you. If you use it correctly, it will always do your bidding. So you must obey the law before the law will obey you. So we're going to learn during the month how to use this law of mind. And here again, when I say the law of mind, start to think that you are living, moving, and having your being in the mind of God. That this is a very powerful thing that you are using, this mind of yours. And you take the law of mind, or God's mind, and you bring it down and make it personal in your own mind. So that whatever you're thinking becomes a law. That's why we say, I'm always the cause unto my own experience. You have to realize that you are causing everything that comes into your life. And you are doing that with your thinking. Every thought has power. You cannot have a thought that doesn't have power behind it. And we casually think. Remember, you cannot afford the luxury of a negative thought. Because they do have power. And that is the whole crux of metaphysics, to realize that you do have a power, you do have a law, the law of mind, and that you can use that. Now, what has happened? This is the first generation, by the way. My generation, your generation. And it won't be Lily's generation, because Lily's learning this now. But most of the people in this room never realized their potential or that there was anything out there until about the 1970s. In the 1970s, the human potential movement came in. And what they taught people was, fake it till you make it. Keep believing in yourself and you will become what you keep believing. In the 70s, they taught a lot of visualization. And they said, what you can visualize, you will bring into your experience. And then we moved on into the 80s and we learned even more. So when I say this generation is the first generation, my generation in the 70s. My parents did not know this and most of your parents did not know this. They were not brought up with a concept that your mind can create anything. That your mind is doing everything to you. That it's a mental world we live in, and that your thoughts are causing your life. Very new. So we keep lapsing back in to an old pattern of thinking that what we are thinking does not matter. What you are thinking matters every minute of every day. Every thought has power. So you see, if we started in the 70s and the 80s, we've only been in this maybe 20, 30 years. New thought has been around since day one. The master teacher Jesus used new thought. And before that, 500 years before him, there were the Essenes that knew that their minds were powerful and that their thoughts were powerful. Then we sort of forgot it, and we got into all these brand name churches and so forth, and this is what happens. Which reminds me, I want to tell you a cute story about race, mind, and tolerance and so forth. And have we come somewhere or haven't we come somewhere? Two friends I married last week, two men. They finally came down to, they had to ask me because no one else wanted to do it for them. They went to the rabbi, and the rabbi said to them, "Oh, absolutely. We marry men all the time. We marry same-sex people all the time." So Bob said, "Oh, good, can you marry us?" "No, we can't marry you because your lover is not Jewish." Now, we'll marry two men, but we won't marry two men of different religions. Have we come anywhere? Have we come? If you can tolerate that, then you can tolerate what is this religion? So you're right back to some prejudice. You're right back to some type of separation. You're a Jew and I'm a Christian. We are all human beings. And there's only one God. No one has an exclusive on this thing we call God. No church, no person. It can be used by everyone. So we come a long way in our society. We think, oh, isn't that wonderful? Now, people of the same gender can get married. But the church says, yes, that's true, but you better be Jewish, you see. So it's sort of crazy making, isn't it? But that's the world out there. So you have to bring yourself back from that world, from this race-mind thing. And why we're talking about race-mind here, and we're talking about the law of mind, you have to remember that the race-mind is very subtle, and it's very convincing. And one of the things that is in race-mind that most people do not know, and they keep using it because they don't know that it's complete race mind, is the idea that life is a struggle. People think life's a struggle. That's race mind. And it's been around for so long that you think that that's a normal way to think. It's not a normal way to think. Life is not a struggle. You should make life joyous. You should make life a game. And you can do that once you realize that every thought has power. That this thing works through a law of mind. And I said in another class, you have to remember when we talk about the law of mind, yes, we are living, moving, and having our being in the mind of God. And there is that law of mind because God has to use the law of mind also. God doesn't use a different mind or a different law to be able to do something. But you have to realize that the law, when we talk about the law of mind, it means what is the law in your mind. Because every thought that you think, every belief that you believe, you create a law with that. And when you create that law plays itself out for you all the time. So you have to be able to hear what you're saying all the time. You have to slow down enough to hear what you're saying to yourself. You see. With any of this, visualization, treatment, or affirmations, they will not work unless you first have self-esteem. If you don't believe in yourself, there's no sense praying. Give it up. You're wasting your time. Work on yourself first. Learn to love yourself. Learn to appreciate yourself. Learn to realize how powerful you are. Then you can start to do treatment work. That is why we say, I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. Every day you must do this. We are the only people that can do it for build self-esteem. Somebody else cannot do that for you. I can tell you that you're all wonderful. I can tell you that you're all good-looking. But if you don't believe that, it means nothing. So you have to believe it yourself. So you have to start with that basic platform that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. That has to be the solid rock that you're always standing on. Remember, a house built on a rock will stand. That on a sand will not stand. It will shift and change. Metaphysically, what does that mean? Exactly that. The rock that you're standing on is self-esteem. If you don't have self-esteem, you're building your house, your mental house, your life on sand, which will shift and change all the time. Once you know that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter, it doesn't matter what anyone else says or thinks about you. It doesn't matter what the world thinks about you. So learn that first. And that's one of the steps that is left out. People think, oh, I can just pick up metaphysics and everything is going to be solved. Well, it's not going to be solved. It always has to start with you. Life is an inside job, and it's a do-it-yourself project. You must do it from the inside out. All life is lived from the inside out. So it's lived with what you were thinking about yourself. Remember, Henry David Thoreau said, what you think about all day long, you become. What you think about all day long, you become. So what are you thinking about? Are you always thinking success for yourself? Do you realize that you're always moving from your good to your greater good? Do you know that you're moving from glory to greater glory? That there is no problem that you cannot solve because you have the mind of God to work with. So every problem can be solved. Once you learn to use the law of mind, problems will not overpower you anymore, because you will realize immediately, if I change my thinking, the problem will go away. It always goes away. Anything that's in your life is in your life because you're thinking about it. And you're constantly thinking about it. So if you're thinking poverty, lack and limitation all the time, that is what you are going to see. Because we see with our mind, not our eyes. So you have to be able to change your thinking about that and not judge by appearances. Now that is the little rub in the whole thing. Because race, mind, and appearances, good evening, come in, sit down. Race, mind, and appearances are very convincing. And they will convince you every time. So you have to be powerful enough to be able to look through that appearance. You have to be able to look through anything and see the good in it. When I mentioned earlier the master teacher, one of the master teachers, Jesus, when he healed, if the hand was all shriveled, he never looked at the shriveled hand. He looked at the good hand. When you look at the good hand, the shriveled hand goes away. If you keep looking at the shriveled hand stays. That's the way you do it. I've used that, not the shriveled hand, I use the idea many times, I have told you. And if you're looking in this direction and there's a beautiful garden out there, and over here is a dump heap, it's a choice. Which one do you want to look at? So you train yourself to look at the garden so that you see the beautiful garden and not the dump heap. The more you see the more the garden will go over. But we have a tendency, because of race mind and because of the world that we live in, we're always talking bad news. We're always looking for bad things to happen. You see? We're always looking for bad things to happen. When I said earlier that one of the things in race mind is that life is a struggle. You see, you must give that idea up, that life's a struggle. Also give up the idea that your future is not going to be bright. How many people know that their future is going to be taken care of? Yes, you have to know that. Most people are afraid of the future. Something awful is going to happen. And if you watch television, it will convince you that something awful is going to happen. And what they usually are telling you is you're going to start to fall apart because they want to sell you something, like a pill. It'll keep you going forever and ever. So we don't want to do that to ourselves. So this whole idea of the law of mind is new, and it is not new. But we must learn that it is the most important thing in our life. Give up the idea of being more spiritual. Give up the idea that you have to worship God morning, noon, and night. What you have to do is learn to control your thinking. You have to learn to control your thinking. So you have to, every morning, be able to say to yourself, I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. With that, let's do the matter piece. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. So during this month, let's learn this law of mind. First of all, you have to know that it exists. So, it does exist. You people know that it exists because most of you here can get a parking space. So it's the law of mind that's giving you that parking space. So now you know there is such a thing as the law of mind. Now you have to fine-tune all that and fine-tune your thinking so that it always works for you. So that it always works for you. So you have to see it, try to visualize it, and know that you're living, moving, and having your being in this law of mind. That it is completely permeating you all the time. That it's permeating your body and your mind. When you know that, you can heal yourself. You can heal yourself. You just have to sit and visualize. So close your eyes a moment. And start to think of your body as porous. Start to see it as a colander, as a sieve, as a screen. And now start to visualize an energy, a force, a power, much like water, flowing through that screen. And as it flows through that screen, allow it to take any debris that is caught in the screen away. And if it takes that debris away, allow it to flow away from you. So at the present moment, if you're not feeling 100%, know that this force, this power, is cleansing all that from you. If it's something in your mind, you're suffering from lack or limitation, allow it to go. Allow it to leave. Put it into the law. That is what's flowing through you. The law of mind. And the law of mind can dissolve that. Can transmute that into wealth and health, into creative self-expression, into anything that you want. But feel that power moving through you. And know that you can do this anytime with any problem. We talked a long time ago about casting the burden. This is another way to cast the burden into the law of mind. You do not have to carry any of these with you. So when you're finished, come back. I was talking to somebody recently who said to me, oh, this is a very simple teaching. It's a very simple teaching. It's not complicated at all. But it requires your thinking. And it requires your discipline and your diligence. Because we're used to just thinking anything we want to think. And we have to stop doing that. So metaphysics is a wonderful teaching. And these metaphysical churches are absolutely wonderful. But if you don't know how to use the law of mind, they are worthless. You might as well return to the faith of your fathers. You see. Okay, I said earlier, this is the first generation that realizes that thoughts go someplace and do something. This is the first generation that is using the idea that you can create your own reality with your thoughts. Your grandparents never gave this a thought. They never realized this could be true. There were rare cases, but we're talking about the majority. And we're talking usually about race mind. So we are entering a whole new era here. And it's a wonderful thing. Because we have reached a point in human evolution where we are now participating in the creation of reality. Why can that be so? How can that be done? By realizing that you're one with God. By realizing that all you are is God. But you are not all that God is. Now you're participating with God itself. So you learn to think the thought that you want to think and feel the feeling that you want to feel instead of thinking that somebody else outside of you or something else outside of you is causing anything. You are always going to be the cause under your own experience. We like to slip back in and say, no, somebody else caused that. Because we were taught not to take blame. I'm not teaching blame here. I am teaching responsibility. And I am teaching freedom. And the only way that you can have freedom is through responsibility. Meaning, once you learn to control your thinking, you have total freedom. You have total freedom. You can do anything that you want to do. But you have to learn to use it correctly. Or like electricity, it will kill you. And it doesn't do that out of punishment. That's the way it works. So when you learn to obey the law obeys you. So it starts with you. And it starts with this thing we call self-esteem. And the whole idea that you're worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Once you learn those things, then you can do an affirmation that makes sense to you. You see? That your mind isn't saying, oh, you're lying. You're not that. You see? You're the one that's causing it. We have to remember that. But we get out into the world, we hear it so often, that that isn't true. That something else is causing something. I listen to a classical radio station in the morning. It has a few flaws that I don't like. First of all, it tells me what the traffic's going to be. And it tells me where all the tie-ups are and so forth. And then he goes on to tell me what caused it. You know. I should write him. What people absolutely think. What do we say here? If it rains, people run into each other. What caused it? The rain. The rain did not cause it. Perhaps the lack of driving skills did. But the rain doesn't cause anything. Rain doesn't cause anything. It causes the crops to grow. It doesn't cause people to run into each other. People run into each other because they have some thought in their mind. I hate my wife this morning, so they smashed the car up. I don't want to go to work right now. So what do? I wreck the car. Now I don't have to go to work today. I can call in with a legitimate excuse of not going to work. Do you realize that most heart attacks occur on Monday morning? Because people don't want to go to work. They're tired of going to work for 30 years at a job they hate. So they decide, oh, I'll have a heart attack. It wasn't the job that caused it. It was a thought that caused it. Thought is going to cause everything. Thought is going to cause everything. Every thought has power. So how are you using that power? How are you using that power? And when you're creating, you're creating attitudes. What kind of an attitude are you walking around with? Are you walking around with a positive attitude or a negative attitude? So look at a positive attitude and negative attitude as a rock. And every time you have one, where is the rock going? Do you have a big rock pile over here of negative things and you're adding to the world with all the negativity that's already there? Or are you adding positive rocks to the world? See, the best thing that we can do for ourselves is to become the very best person that we can be and learn to think positive thoughts. Because we're adding them to the world. And we're adding them to the thought atmosphere that we're walking around in. So if everyone thought positive thoughts, that's all we would have is positive thoughts. You see. But we get into the shadow world. We get into those negative thoughts. And we allow them to build and build and build. You see, the world is skewed for the negative. It's skewed for the worst. to see that. The news that you hear, which is usually dreadful, is only 5% of what's going on. But you hear it all the time till your mind says, oh, people are awful. Look at the world's going to hell in a handbasket. 5%. But yet we allow it to become 100%. So think of nice things. Think of good things in your life. And learn to use this thing called the law of mind. So it's only been around and only going to be used in this generation. The next generation will even be better. How do we know that that's the way it is? Because we live in Lily's generation. Lily does not live in our generation. Our generation is gone. You always live in the child's generation, not in the parent's generation. That is why when you see children at the age of 3, they know how to run a computer. Because they were born into that. They're born into that thought atmosphere. And they can do it right away. We can't. We have to learn. We have to get rid of all this other stuff before we can do that. Children do not. They're born into that. And that's called a thought atmosphere. So it's always going to be, what thought atmosphere are you born into? You see, the thought atmosphere that George Washington had and lived in, completely different than the thought atmosphere today. Completely different. So you have to think of those things also. But the main thing is to really get it through your brain that there is such a thing called the law of mind. And that it's an operation 24 hours of the day. And that you can use it to bring what you want into your life. Instead of allowing anything that comes down the pike to come into your life. And it may take a little effort because we're used to thinking a different way. And we hear it all the time and it's very subtle. So if you're not around people all the time of like mind, you start to hear what they're saying and you start to believe that. You start to believe that. So you must choose in your life, what do you want to believe? You see, you're free to believe anything that you want to believe. You're free to believe anything that you want to believe. So start believing what you want to believe. What kind of a world do you want to live in? Do you want to live in a peaceful world? Then you must become peaceful. You must become peaceful. People have been praying for years for peace on earth. There will never be peace on earth as long as there's domestic violence. Never be peace on earth. As long as there's domestic violence, because it outpictures itself on the global scale. Everything you do outpictures itself. So think how powerful you are. Is there anyone here who doesn't think that they're powerful? No. So then start using your power. Start using this. I've been in this teaching 25, 30 years or something. And I still have to remind myself that my mind is causing everything. My mind is causing everything. We hate to say that. We hate to think that our minds created the mess that we are in out in the world right now. But we did that. By believing and by thinking. By the way, gas has gone down, didn't I tell you? You cannot do that to yourself. Get all upset over those things. Thoughts have power, and they're very powerful. What are you saying to yourself? Last week, a young lady in the class said, money just keeps going out. She was using the law of mind. And the law of mind said, yes, you're right. Your money is always going out. Dallas's money's coming in. You see, it's just how you change and think about things. If you think money is always going out, it will always go out. If you think money goes out and comes back to you, it will come back to you. When I was in ministerial school, I gave a talk, the first talk I ever gave, and it was titled, Plant a Radish, Get a Radish, from the Fantastics, from the song, Plant a Radish, Get a Radish, every time. Why is that? Because this law of mind, if you plant a radish, does not give you a carrot. Just doesn't do it. It always gives you exactly what you're thinking about. So if you plant an idea in mind, what that idea will take form, it will become. The little acorn grows into an oak tree. You see, an acorn doesn't grow into a corn stalk. That's the way the law of mind works. It's an immutable law. What are you planting in your mental garden? What are you planting in your mental garden? Oh, horrible days. Lack and limitation. Will the world ever come back? Will the stock market fix itself? Will my money return? You have to know that your money never left. Your money never left. What left? Your thoughts left. Your money is always there. You must remember that at any moment you can draw from the cosmic bank. And you have an account there. And if you haven't used it for a while, it's compounding interest. Never goes away. Just sits and waits for you to use it. Once you learn to use it, money is always going to be freely circulating in your life. And you're always going to have a divine surplus. So start to think those thoughts. Is that the seed you want to plant in your mind? Do you want to plan in your mind that you will always have enough money to take care of yourself for the rest of your life? How many people are so afraid that they're not going to have enough money for the rest of their life? If you think you're not going to have enough money for the rest of your life, guess what? You're going to be right. Because it wouldn't matter if you made $3 billion. There would be something to take it from you. There would be something to take it from you. Because that's your thought. That's the seed that you're planting. That's the seed that you're planting. So why don't you plant in your garden thoughts that you want? Like, I am successful. I am abundant. I am healthy. I am creative. I am talented. And let those seeds grow. Instead of the seeds that you have in there that are destroying you. That are destroying you. So you have to go back to your garden, pull up those things, and get rid of them. And get rid of them. So back to our earlier thing. I am always the cause unto my own experience. Let that sink in till you realize what that means. That means from now on you cannot blame your parents for anything. You cannot blame the economy for anything. You have to say, oh, I can take full responsibility for that. And since I'm the cause onto my own experience, I can change that experience. And I can change it instantly by changing my thought and by changing my attitude about it. And then it's no more. It is no more. But we keep thinking. We keep thinking the same thought. We think the thought that we don't want. How many people sit around and think, this is what I don't want to happen? Instead of thinking, this is what I want to happen. You're always thinking, this is what I don't want. Forget it. Think of what you do want. You see, what you don't want is the garbage over here. What you do want is the garden over here. So think, what do I want? And know, none of that other stuff can happen. Can't come into your life. Things only come into your life if you think about them. Only come into your life if you think about them. See, what's wrong with the world today, there's entirely too much information out there. You do not need to know that somebody in Bangladesh didn't get a bowl of rice today. You do not need to know that. Too much information. Bring it down to something simple in your life. This is what I want. And then start thinking about that constantly. And that is what you will get. Because it's planting the seed. Just like you plant a seed in the soil. If you plant a radish, you get a radish every time. If you plant the right idea in your mind that you want, you will get it. You will get it. And then remember, what most people do, they plant the seed and they expect it by morning to be fully grown. And or at least to see if something started, so they pull the damn thing up. You cannot do that. Plant the seed and know that it's planted and it's going to do its work. Stop worrying, stop being concerned. If you plant a seed in your own garden, yes, you have to cultivate it. You have to keep the weeds from knocking it down and killing it. And you have to water it. The same way a thought in your mind, you have to keep cultivating it. You have to keep nurturing it. You have to keep loving it. You have to keep watering it. And it will come. But you give up too easily. You give up too easily and you say, well, that didn't work. I didn't get that right away. That didn't work. But it always works. Don't pull up things before they have a chance to bloom for you. It's done with your thinking. It's done with your mind. It's done with this thing that we call the law of mind. And that's what metaphysics is all about. Many times I've told you that I'm going to give you the secret of life. Well, this is one of the secrets of life. That there's a law of mind that operates throughout the universe and throughout every person. And we bring it down and make it personal in our own mind by using our thoughts. And then we create our own reality. Or if that, you don't like creating your own reality, you can say, I co-create my reality with this thing called God. It doesn't matter. The main thing that matters is that you realize that you're powerful. That your thoughts are powerful, and that you can use them to bring into your life what you want, instead of allowing your life just to go in any direction it wants to. All life is done with discipline. All life is done with discipline. You have to discipline something for it to be able to grow. And we don't discipline our thinking. We allow our minds to go here, there, and everywhere and come up with all kinds of crazy things. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself. You can control your thinking. You can control your thinking. So that's one of the tenets. And one of the main things of metaphysics is the law of mind. And if you don't learn that, and if you don't realize, the other little step that people leave out is that this is a mental world. You have to realize that it's a mental world. Do not be convinced by appearances. Do not be convinced by the physical world. There is a physical world, but it's not the real world. It's not the real world. Stop living in that fantasy. Live in the real world, the mental world. When you live in the mental world, you realize that you're creating everything. And you're doing that with your thought. And that you can change your thought any way you want. And when you change your thought, the physical world changes. As soon as you change your thought, have you changed your thought? You're no longer sick, are you?
No.
All you have to do is change. That's all. Change your mind. Change your life. Change your feelings. Change your life. So, here we are into a new generation. Lily's generation will learn this more and more. But we can learn it too, even at this age in life. Rhoda will tell you that she's delighted at 80-something or other to know this. Your life has changed immensely, hasn't it?
And it keeps changing.
And it keeps changing. For the better. For the better. So learn the law of mind and realize that it absolutely does exist. That it's an immutable law of the universe. Immutable meaning it does not change. Immutable also that it works the same for everybody. And that goodness has nothing to do with the people. You can be a nasty, rotten son of a gun and the law will still work for you. The law always works. It's impersonal. And it works for everyone exactly the same way. But it has to work through you and through your thinking. So think big thoughts about yourself. All right, what do I want to do here? If you are obedient to the law, you will not suffer the burdens to be heaped high upon you. You will live in the present. Do your highest duty every day. Forget the past and let the future care for itself. You will live in the present. If you know about the law of mind, you have to live in the present. It doesn't work anywhere else, people. It only works in the present. You have to stay in the present for it to work, which is another little thing. You wonder, know why you don't get what you want, because Christ, you're not present. You're just not present half the time. You're either in the past or you're in the future. And if you don't stay in the present, the law doesn't work in the past or the future. It only works in the present. Now here's a big shocker for you. This thing we call God, we call a living God. Why do we call it a living God? Because God does not live in the past or the future. God only lives in the present, people. So if you're trying to find God in the past or in the future, you're not going to find God there. Because God only exists in the present. The same way the law of mind only exists in the present. So you have to use it in the present moment. So when you use this law, you have to stay in the present moment. You give a treatment. You say, I want this, this, and this, and this, and this. And then you go back in memory and say, well, you know, you didn't get it last time. You didn't get it over here. You didn't get it over there. Now, there's no law over there. Or you go, oh, now I got to, and you go, there's no law over there either. Only here, in the present. Keep your mind stayed in the present. And I was going to the Baptist church. It was a wonderful day. That was before I got kicked out. There was a sign. It took me forever to realize what it meant. And it said, perfect peace to he whose mind is stayed on thee. Perfect peace to he whose mind is stayed on thee. Meaning, if you stay in the present and think about God, everything is fine. It's when you go to the past or the future that things get awful. But if you can keep your mind safe, you can do this, by the way, you can use anytime you have a problem. Think of God, not the problem. But what you do is think of the problem. And then the other little thing, if you have the audacity to think, I can solve it. That's a good one. You can't solve a problem. But you keep trying to solve the problem. Why don't you say, God, I can't solve this problem, but I know you can, so do it for me. I do it all day long. I don't know what I'm doing half the time, but I know God knows. You see, you have to use this. It's no good to just come and listen and read books and do all that stuff. You have to use it. Use it. It's a practical teaching. It's a practical teaching. All that is required of us is to learn obedience to the law of truth, and not to obey the petty things that arise steadily as we allow our visions to be disturbed and harassed. We allow our visions to be disturbed and harassed. How many people have a vision and talk themselves out of it? How many people have a vision and allow the world or somebody else to talk them out of it? That's the petty little things, you see. Don't allow that to happen. If you have a vision, keep your vision. And if you have a vision, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell everyone about the vision. As soon as you tell anyone about what you're trying to work on, unless it's me, you dilute it. You absolutely dilute it. You must keep your power to yourself unless you trust the other person to add their power to it. But most people do not want to add their power to what they're going to say. Oh, please. You don't want to do that. Keep your power to yourself. Keep your vision to yourself and keep working on that vision. And it will come into your life. For only as we are able to cast our burden upon the law shall we be free. Cast the burden upon the law. It's the law that's going to carry it out for you. You're not going to do a damn thing. Your job is to come up with things. There's a saying. What man can conceive, mind can achieve. All you have to do is conceive something. Then you turn that over to the law and allow the law to do it. And allow the law to do it. Ernest Holmes in The Science of Mind tells about giving a treatment. He says, once you give a treatment, you have to realize if what's needed to make that treatment come true is in the deepest, darkest of Africa, it's on its way to you now. It's on its way to you now. I think that's wonderful. I visualize that one all the time. What you want is on its way to you now. See, what you're seeking is seeking you. always going to be that way. What you are seeking is seeking you. But you're usually seeking something that you don't want. You're seeking things you don't want. Learn to seek things that you want. Not until we can rise superior to our problems and our troubles can we ever hope to cease to have other troubles. Cease to have. Be superior. There's not a problem in the world that is more powerful than you are. First of all, problems are not an entity. They have no power, no life of their own. Only you breathe life into it with your thinking. If you withdraw your thinking from any problem, the problem will go away. But you say, oh, it's a problem, I have to solve it. And the problem usually gets bigger. Usually gets bigger. Rhoda, didn't you tell me in one of the many step programs and so forth, there was a thing, don't take action for 3 days?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't worry, think, or anything for 3 days. If somebody gives you a problem, say, oh, I'll think about that in 3 days. In 3 days, the problem's gone. It dissolves itself because you're not thinking about it. To start to think about it, it goes on forever. It goes on forever. Because why? The law of mind. You say, oh, I have a problem. The law of mind says, yeah, you have a problem. Here it is. Because you start to concentrate on it. You start to make it grow. Don't make things grow in your life unless it's money, prosperity, abundance, health. Make those things grow in your life. The purpose of our lesson is to learn how we might properly choose and serve the law for our highest good. That's what we're here to learn. The purpose of our lesson is to learn how we might properly choose and serve the law for our highest good. So if you want abundance and prosperity, have you planted that seed in the law of mind? And every day, do you seek abundance and prosperity? Do you see that? And then you will get that. This class is called Abundance and Prosperity, including money. We want that money, but we also want an abundant and prosperous life. If somebody takes you to lunch, that's prosperity. If somebody gives you a gift, that's prosperity. So when those things happen to you, know that and say, oh, look, this is prosperity. Now I want more. Remember more, please. Always ask for more. But you've got to see it. You don't go out to lunch and somebody says, I'll pay the bill. And think, oh, well, that was nothing. You have to be grateful and say, isn't that wonderful? That was prosperity right there. That was abundance. What else do you say immediately? God's taking care of me. God's taking care of me. Everything that comes into your life comes into your life because of God. It comes through other people. Because God works through each and every one of us. And since all that we are is God, but we are not all that God is, we are always giving and taking from God. But you have to know that. You have to see your life more and bigger than you think it is. It's not this simple little thing of a birth certificate, a death certificate, and you struggle through 40 years of something that you didn't like, and then you leave this plane of action. You have to start now making your life mystical and magical and say, oh, isn't that wonderful? God, look what God did for me today. Look what God did for me today. That's wonderful. I told the story about my zinnias, but I love zinnias and I grow zinnias. This morning I got 8 more beautiful blooms, and here it is into November. That's abundance of prosperity. And I think that's wonderful. I may keep these going to December. It's just, but you have to say, and I'm thankful for that. I get up in the morning, I couldn't wait to rush down there and see what bloomed in my garden. So this is what you have to do with your mental garden. Be excited to see what's blooming in my garden today. What wonderful thought do I have in there? I'm an actor. I'm on a sitcom. I'm in a movie. Whatever. You have to put that in that seed in your garden and be excited. Boy, I planted something, I'm waiting for it to bloom. Knowing that it's going to bloom. But you have to get excited. One of them, I'll call it an emotion. That is the biggest and the best emotion that you can have to bring anything into your life is enthusiasm. Enthusiasm. Yes, you have to get enthusiastic. Now, does anyone know the word enthusiasm? Where it came from? I think it comes from the Greek word to mean God within. Enthusiasm. Yes, look it up. Could be wrong. Google it. But when you get enthusiastic, you see, you're causing an emotion, you're causing a feeling. So you have to remain enthusiastic, and you have to remain enthusiastic about your own life, and here's where the little rub comes in, doesn't it? Because we lose interest in our life. We no longer get enthusiastic about our same old things. Oh, what you got, same old things. You've got to get enthusiastic about your life. Now, what do you know about the law of mind? Well, if you don't get enthusiastic, I'll be damned if the law of mind's going to get enthusiastic. It could care less. It could care less. It doesn't care if you're enthusiastic or not. But you care. And once you care, it cares. It's a saying. Draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you. You have to do it first. So when you get enthusiastic, the universe backs you up in that enthusiasm. But if you sit around being indifferent, that is what you're going to get. Plant a radish, get a radish every time. Always going to be that way. Oh, I love this one. My favorite. We want instantaneous healing of our diseases, but we are loath to give up the net of habits that caused them. We are loath. You know, my mother died of lung cancer because she would not give up smoking. She could not give up the habit. Yet she wanted healed of lung cancer. God helps those who help themselves. If you want anything in life, you must first take an action step. It's all right to sit around and think and think and think, but then you have to do something. You have to do something. Now people say, oh, but God takes care of the birds. God feeds the birds, so God will feed people. God does feed the birds, but he doesn't drop the worm in their mouth. They must go find it. They must do something and find the worm. Prosperity is waiting for you. Abundance is waiting for you. You must get up and go for it. Look for it. It is there. But it will not pop into your lap. The law of the universe, this thing that we call the law of mind, has a little addendum to it. And the addendum is this. Nothing for nothing. You must give it something. If you give nothing, you get nothing. Find out a little time for collection. I just thought of it. Behold the evidence of an invisible intelligence pervading everything, even your own mind and body. Do you think of that all the time? Behold the evidence of an invisible intelligence pervading everything, even your own mind and body. You have to realize that this thing, this power, this thing that we call God, this intelligence, is through everything and is operating all the time. You see? You have to know that. You have to know that. You have to know that there's an intelligence in your body that knows how to heal. And then you move yourself out of the way and allow that intelligence to heal. Every organ in your body knows exactly what to do. And it will do that as long as you don't short-circuit it all the time. God's kingdom is all about us, awaiting our acknowledgement or obedience of the law. God's kingdom is all about us, meaning all around us. The kingdom is all around us. And we don't see it because of our mind. We have to train our minds to see what we want them to see. The eyes do not see, the mind sees. So in this month, let's really work on the idea of the law of mind, and that we can plant any seed we want in the law of mind, and it must reproduce itself to that likeness. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.